it has no ice in it. These guys do. Mm. It's super cold, no ice, which I actually kind of like ice in a drink. So that's kind of a detriment. But man, you're getting your money's worth with this. Shout out to Lucy's. You really deliver on the drinks. And the burritos. Burritos are good too.
Yeah.
And the customer service is exceptional.
Hmm. I'm still a super burrito man.
I know. That's like, there's...
It's the gold standard.
Yeah. Well, people, you know, people have their opinions. And I tend
and mine's
to,
correct.
I tend to find that super burrito people have very strong feelings about other burrito shops. Mm-hmm. Do you like Los Jalapenos?
They're fine.
Okay. That seems to be a
joke. I think they're still below Super Burrito.
Have you ever had a breakfast burrito there?
Yeah.
At Los?
Yeah.
It's weird. They do a weird breakfast burrito.
Yeah, it's not.
Like beans and stuff in it. It's kind of good, but weird. Not what I'm used to. Hmm. I need basics. Bacon.
Bacon, eggs. Cheese, potato.
Cheese, potato. And sour cream. I know you're not a condiment guy. So
I'm not a sour cream man, but yes.
That's the standard for me. Mm-hmm. And it's like one of my favorite foods, I think, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do a podcast today.
Oh, we are?
Yeah.
That's news to me.
Yeah. And then warning to all of our listeners, Colin and I think both came into this one agitated and we're by ourselves. So if you want to complain, you should go back one episode and listen to Jesse tell you the email address to send the complaint into.
Yeah.
And then you can complain to us about how we're messing something up, or I'm on my computer too much, or Colin edited it terribly, or whatever thing you might come up with, or you miss Mike or Jesse or Steve. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Tyson,
Aaron. Mm-hmm. Maybe you want one of those people on here and you want to say something about it.
Yeah.
Maybe you are one of those people and you want to say something. You could just anonymously email that email that address email. That I can't remember.
Mm-hmm. It's the secret RSCP at Gmail.
Secret
RSCP at Gmail, if I remember correctly.
That's gmail.com.
Yeah.
Just not, so we're clear.
Not net or org.
Not the org.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was thinking about this when I started thinking about us doing a podcast, just the two of us. Because we've done a number of these. It's not like it's the first one we've ever done. Mm-hmm. And I think they've usually gone pretty well. We usually just kind of have a conversation that works out well. But then I started thinking about you and I having regular conversations sometimes. And sometimes they're productive, normal conversations. And sometimes your haterness kind of wears into me. And then I start doing it. Mm-hmm. And then we start, I think you...
You let the hate flow through.
I do. Yeah. I think you bring it out of me a little bit and I get a little bit more. I think when we're in a group, I try to defend against that opinion of myself, maybe, or the thing that I'm trying to not say. Mm-hmm. And when nobody else is around, usually I'm just like, yeah, you know what? Fuck that guy. I don't like that at all.
Okay.
So, you know, you never know. Which is why I brought that other thing up before the show, mm-hmm. because I knew that we could not have that conversation on air because it wouldn't be good. Because I think that could be somebody that might be an interesting guest, right? Or not, it turns out. But
yeah, well,
that's a person that's in our sphere, just close enough, that could be interesting. And it seems like a get that would be pretty easy, especially with a connection. So mm-hmm. I don't know. And I think, obviously the numbers show this, but I think that when we have guests on, you know, that are guests, it's fun and it's engaging and it gives us a, you know, something, it even gives us more ammo for shows in the future. So mm-hmm. it's kind of nice.
I agree.
Yeah. I had a couple things that I brought to the table really quickly.
Okay.
Do you want to intro us first or you want me to do it?
Welcome to the Campfire Password Podcast, you mean? All right, what did you bring to my table?
Okay.
Our table.
I have a gripe. on that same note.
Okay. Well, we're just gonna get right into the flurry of hate. Let's go.
So it's no secret that you use Expedition Portal as a news site or whatever, and I do from time to time. So I started looking for a story to talk about because you said, oh, I saw this thing on Expedition Portal and it was the Armada and whatever. We've already talked about it, so it doesn't really matter. And it's not a mid-sized truck, obviously. So.
Yeah, which we can't, obviously we can't cover anything too deeply except for that.
Yeah, so. What are we going to do? So I started kind of clicking around on there and I saw this big headline. BFG further expands all-terrain TA KO3 tire lineup. And I've seen this article 10 different ways so far. Okay. And I think you might know where I'm going with this. It's been on every site that does off-road stuff, and it for good reason. It's an important piece of news to cover. I'm not the premise of it, I totally understand, right? I'm acutely aware of why it exists. But every single one of them that I have seen so far, and somebody prove me wrong, please, talks about the 35 sizes that are available. And the 52 additional sizes that will be released in 2025, and the final 19 that will be available by 2026, but they don't tell me what those sizes are.
No breakdown of what the actual size is.
I have to go to BFG to look at their list to tell me what size. Is it that hard to add into that article?
The little copy-paste?
Popular sizes like 315-70-17 and 37-12-50-17 will be available
in these dates.
No, we wouldn't do that. Maybe they're trying to drive traffic for BFG. Cool. That's fine. But man, it's not. As a reader, I'm just like, why? Why not tell me? I don't care that it has a 50,000-mile warranty. I just don't.
That's
great.
Yeah.
Cool. I know it does.
You would think that they would shoot for having some information that hasn't necessarily been in other, because I'm sure that whoever wrote that saw other articles covering the same thing, or even YouTube videos, which is how we covered it, was through a YouTube video, and didn't think to themselves, hey, I'm going to add a little bit extra that I noticed.
Yeah.
That is interesting that there was no expansion on any of the information. It's just regurgitating the same information in their own words.
Yeah. I'm looking at Car and Driver has an article about it, and they list that the two sizes that are available at the time of posting this on Tire Rack are, these two sizes, which is kind of what I was saying. That gets you there a little bit. Anyways, I just thought maybe I just saw room for improvement there. And this writer, by the way, if he ever listens to it, I think he's actually exceptionally good at what he does, and he's got a lot of coverage on a lot of things, and that's great. So whatever, maybe, who knows? But to me, that was silly. I was just going to complain about it for a second because it really bothered me.
Yeah, well.
Really grinds my gears.
Grinds your gears, yeah.
Yeah.
I get that. That's an understandable gear grinding. And like I said, I mean, if it's that easy for you to notice that, why is someone who writes professionally not noticing that?
Yeah.
And
I don't know. I
mean, is it a deadline thing? Like, were you just had to get the article in, and so you didn't really care? Or,
I mean, you could maybe make the argument it's not the sexiest article, right? The effort level into it might not be. But I ran into this. I ran into somebody that I hadn't really read their writing before until today, and they wrote an article about a really boring thing and just they churched it up proper. It's good. And I was like, man, way to come out swinging on that boring thing. And then another thing that they did had been it was something that hadn't been done for a while. Like, it'd been sitting in stale content, basically, that got a revive by them. Nailed it. So maybe that's because they're hungry to get it done and, you know, happy to do something new. And this guy, you know, was just like, God, I don't want to write another article about BFG All Terrains. I've done 15 of these. Like, that's fair. You know,
I wonder.
I don't want to gripe about it too much, but
maybe it is quite literally the same article that you're reading by the same person every time, and it's just getting
I think what's going
reposted by other places.
Could be. Yeah, I didn't really think about it that way. I was going to say my assumption is nobody wants to spend more than whatever half an hour on it, and it's all coming from the same press release, obviously, because that's how these things go, and that's fine. But I just think. Unless Expedition Portal, for example, maybe in their pocket they have an all-terrain tire test for 2024 that's coming out in a month. Sure.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah. And at that point, maybe they do say all these things that I'm thinking about. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the thing. I just kept
The press release level article, and that's
just
it.
Just the news piece.
Yeah.
Man, I just I had seen it. I'd seen it on social media. I'd seen it on all these other things over the last couple days or weeks. I don't know. I don't remember when it actually started. I guess I could have looked, but I just clicked out of it.
Yeah.
Today when you were like, I was looking at the Expedition Portal, I was like, I'll check too. And I just went, oh, come on.
Yeah, it's the first one on there.
You gotta be kidding me. another gripe.
Keep going. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go.
This actually isn't a gripe. This is just local news that I just thought would be interesting. Somebody tipped me off to CBT has a crazy sale on awnings right now. I don't know if you've seen this at all.
No.
They're like 75% off. And their speculation was, I wonder if they're going out of business. This feels like a going out of business sale. And I said, hey, that's interesting. They were, you know, purchased by a larger company a few years ago, and this person didn't know that. So they were like, whoa, crazy.
Because are they still CVT brand?
Correct, yes.
So that's what it is.
Yeah.
Is they're still trying to get rid of all the CVT branded stuff. Yeah.
And then I brought up that there is now a local person who is connected to CVT who is selling old CVT stuff, and whatever side thing I'm assuming that he picked up in the meantime at the same time, which is kind of an interesting concept. Yeah, but I mean, it's easy pull, right? Like if you're already there, I'm assuming he just understands exactly what he can and can't do with whatever selling the company meant, and good on him for doing it.
To me, it seems like what he usually does is he buys a handful to get a certain discount on them because he's using them for development of other products to make sure that it works with what he's doing. Cause I know what his next thing that he's doing, which I shouldn't say, and they are products that fit into the mold of that next step.
Yeah.
So I think that that's more what it is than it is him like reprising a business that he's already done before.
That would make sense. I know what they're up to a little bit too, not the whole thing, but enough of an outline to understand. And now that I think about it out loud, I wonder if they're just, you know, instead of buying one, might as well try to make a little bit of money on the side with what you're doing and bring a few in and just kind of keep doing it because you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Yeah. He's got connections, so.
Well, yeah. I can imagine that. Yeah. That would be an easy. If you've already bought and made them at that scale, then doing 10 of them in one line is like, okay, that's easy.
Yeah.
I know the logistics and how to figure this out. So.
That is true.
Is that brand? Is that like something that's been. Have you seen multiples with that branding, or is it like different branding each time, or just this one time? I actually haven't paid attention.
I think this is the first time I've seen him with that particular brand.
Got it.
So yeah, it could just be, like I said, the product testing of figuring out what ones he wants to use because he knows what he's looking for.
Yeah.
When it comes to these products.
Yeah.
And how he wants them to work with his new setup. Yeah. So
fair enough. That's it. That was an interesting one because I was kind of looking at it and I was thinking, well, part of me is like a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a sarcastic asshole, and I see it and I go, oh, okay. And then I go, eh, you know, there's probably, it is what it is. Like, mm-hmm. there are so many cheap tent companies out there.
Yes.
That
it's hard to parse through and find out what is like truly cheap mm-hmm. and what is bang for your buck.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's part of what he's probably doing as well, is like finding that out, because he knows what standards he wants mm-hmm. his stuff to be at. And you kind of have to have them in hand and use them in order to find out if that's to your standard or not.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
yeah.
Maybe these aren't to his standard and that's why he's selling them. I don't know.
That hard gel one is weird. I've seen a couple with that design where it's like a reverse lip design. Mm-hmm. It's flat on the bottom, and the, I don't know if I'm into that, but I don't know. I've never used it, so.
Means you've got a window in the top. It's got a window in that over that extra, that little flip forward.
Oh yeah, no, I was talking about the clamshell one, yeah. not the flap. Yes. The side flap.
The clamshell one. It has a little pop out, so that instead of it being, you know, just the traditional triangle, it's got the little pop forward thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a window in the roof of the tent material there.
I think I would take that.
So, well, that's what he's got. So.
All right, well, maybe I'll have to.
Maybe you do have to talk to him now.
Maybe I have to talk to him now. If you're listening, I still need a new tent, mm-hmm. and my mattress is still horrible.
Yeah, well. Yeah. In the tent theme, I'll stick with you on that one. Just a couple articles down on the Expedition portal. Alucab has released a new topper, and it's essentially the same as their, I don't know what they're called, but the toppers that have the wedge sleeping platform in it.
Yeah.
And so this one opens the opposite direction, or I guess not opposite, opens 90.
Okay.
And then flips out on the side. So it kind of creates so that you can basically have like a 3 to 4 person sleeper in your truck topper. But the inside is basically set up just like their standard truck topper does.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, quote unquote live in, you know, as much as living in the bed of your truck is.
Yeah.
But just expands on the tent area so that you can fit more people in the tent or just have a ton more bed space in general for one person or whatever, which is a cool idea. I like the expansion of the topper scene, because all the toppers now, they all do exactly the same thing for the most part. Some of them have little bits that make them slightly different, like the Harker thing and the Topo topper, and like they all have like some little thing, but really they're the same.
Yeah, same idea.
It's a topper, it's a wedge tent that's on top of it. You can access it from inside, you can access it from outside. Like that's it. Where this is, and it's, you know, it sleeps too, that's what you're stuck with. Where this, it kind of flips it sideways and potentially, I mean, to me, because that's the typical bed size as far as a truck goes and typical topper size, because it still has the overhang.
Yep.
I mean, that's got to be like your CVT Rainier sized tent at minimum, I would think. I mean, that's a Tundra, short bed Tundra. So that's got to be that.
Yeah, they say
that size at least.
They say 4 adults.
So there you go. Yeah, I would like. I'd be interested to see what the. Maybe Alucab has a little more information on their site, but the ModCap Family Camper is what they're calling it. I would like to see what the bed size is on that, because that's a killer option for those that want a topper for their truck, but has a family and realizes that the typical topper doesn't sleep enough. And so then you've got to figure out another place for everybody to sleep.
Yeah, no kidding.
It is, I think that maybe the family one, the bigger one, only fits the 6.5-foot bed. So still short in quotes, but it's not like, you know, 5.5-foot is like all the small truck, mid-sized trucks, you know, yeah. Our audience, obviously.
But a 6-foot bed and it's got an overhang that hangs over the cab, that means that that tent is effectively going to be 6 feet wide.
Yeah.
That's big.
I'm trying to figure this out right now. So you carry the conversation. I'm on the AluCab site, and then I'm going to have to go ahead and put it into a calculator and figure out what it is in American.
Oh, because that's right. They list everything in millimeters.
Yeah.
Because they're not from here. Mm-mm. And I'll be honest, millimeters, their units are smarter than ours.
Oh, absolutely.
I still think I don't get the reasoning for just doing something different because you didn't want to, like, that's our way of saying, ah, screw you, England. We're not using your measurement units. Like, there's no point to that.
There's not.
We're the only ones.
Yeah.
Why can't we just use what everybody else uses? Because it's so much simpler. It makes so much more sense. I bet that there are so many more mistakes made with our measurement system than their measurement system.
I saw a video and I didn't watch it. Mm. Full disclosure.
So you saw the video, title. Okay.
And I thought that was that's interesting. I should watch that. And then I didn't.
And then didn't, yeah.
But it was like, it was a woodworking video. This is the kind of stuff I'm getting targeted, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Woodworking video.
Getting to that age, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I was drinking my morning coffee at about 4:45 and I got this. Yeah.
Early bird gets warm,
of
right?
Of course, yeah. the video was about why the Imperial system makes sense. And it was like something about, you know, calculating length in woodworking quickly. Yep. Not like dividing it quickly. So the metric system works really well for, like, you know, multiply by 10, divide by 10. Like, that's just super easy. But it was something about, like, shorthand measurement to get to, like, 3 feet or whatever was easier this way, he claimed. I saw the preview and I went, eh, okay. So.
Typical American.
Yeah, that's me. So the AluCab ModCap family is pretty interesting. It is larger than a king-size bed.
Yeah, see?
So it is 2 meters by 2.4 meters. So that's 6 feet by 7 and a little bit. So
okay.
It's a pretty good size.
That's big. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And king size bed, for clarification, is 6.3 feet by 6.6 feet. So it's bigger.
So it's California King almost. Because California King is slightly narrower, but is longer than our King.
Yeah. So it's still bigger than that.
Yeah.
So it's a big one.
Yeah. That's a lot of space. That's, you're going to sleep 4 people up there very easily.
Did you know there's another size of bed? I'm going to quiz you here.
No, no. That's beyond King and California King?
Mm-hmm. There's another one. It is, don't you Google it.
Shack?
Shack size. It is, oh, that's right. The Olympic Queen.
Oh, wow.
Is in there, which is bigger than a queen, I guess.
Oh, well, I thought you were talking bigger than the king.
And then...
Olympic king?
There's a different king. Okay, so here's mattress to match. Wow, that sounds like I'm from Minnesota when I say that.
Hey.
The mattress dimensions and bed sizes. Crib, twin, twin XL,
right.
Full/double.
Yep.
Full/double XL.
Oh.
Queen. Olympic queen, which isn't on here, but I just saw it, so I'm going to add it.
Yeah, okay.
King. California King, get ready. Wyoming King.
Whoa, Wyoming making a name for itself.
So Wyoming King, we're just going to talk about the dimensions of the top two here.
Okay.
Wyoming King is the same width and length. So it's a California King made square. Because California King is 72 inches wide, 84 long.
Okay.
So it's like this, you know, slightly different, right? Then There's the Alaska King.
Oh, boy.
Why Texas didn't jump in on this game, I don't know, but that's...
If anything, Texas should be the Wyoming.
I mean, Texas, everything's and bigger than Texas.
Right, but Alaska's bigger than Texas.
Yeah, but they don't, you know, nobody
We just forget about it because it's up there around Canada. Yeah, exactly.
Canada. It's Canadian. It's
our Canada state.
It's our Canada state, yeah. Well, anyways, it's 108 by 108.
Ooh.
That's a big bed.
That's a big one.
That's a big bed. Yeah.
Yeah, so bigger than the Mod Cap family camper, but... Not to say.
Oh my God! There's one in the middle. There's a Vermont King.
Oh, well, that's a tiny state. That doesn't make any sense.
There is a Texas King too. Before someone blows me up here. 80 by 98.
Man, so we're just making this things up as we go. Yeah. We should come up with an Oregon King and just make our own dimensions. That's somewhere in the range.
Something random, yeah. 1 inch more on each dimension.
Yeah,
and it's a minimum of 20 inches thick.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Yeah. Like a tree?
Just go for a thickness. Yeah. Well, it's a cool camper. I imagine it's going to be, let me see here. We're talking, looks like starting price on those things is $6,800.
Yeah. I mean, that's, so there's two things with these, right? That's kind of reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about the competition, it's all in that price range.
Yeah.
But I've seen a few Alucab campers for sale on other rigs. I like run across this every once in a while on a Facebook marketplacing for, you know, an hour.
Yeah.
On a weekend, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And
on the toilet.
On the toilet sometimes. Sometimes it continues from the bed to the toilet and back to the bed. You never know.
I mean, yeah.
Because I'm reading this invoice. Anyways, I just saw one recently that was a Gladiator with the like more robust camper. It's got like all the, you know, like the wood stove and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That thing is like $20,000. And it's because everything's an add-on. It's like the add-on kitchen, the add-on
base,
pack.
The base price is how they get you pulled in. And then if you want anything that's in these pictures, it increases the price.
That one says that the kitchen is like $1,800 or $1,700.
Yeah.
So, you know, it will go up in price, but at a base, it's not bad.
Yeah, at a base, that's very competitive, especially if you're looking to do a bunch of your own build out for it. Because if you're a do-it-yourselfer type and you know, the shell itself is the most annoying part to get right,
mm-hmm.
then... Yeah, you just get the base to model one. The thing I'm noticing, I mean, I'm sure this is an add-on, but I don't know if other toppers have it, is this window. So the side hatch that opens up, it has a tent material on it so that you can have a drop-down screen window in that little hatch.
Oh.
Which I haven't seen in other toppers. Even as an add-on. So, I mean, I could be wrong because I'm not the expert on toppers here.
Yeah.
But I like that. That is a feature that they'll sell the shit out of, I would think. Like, that's a great feature.
Yeah. I mean, overall, this thing is a really good option. It really is. I think I don't like this style of tent, ironically enough, like actual rooftop tent. Every time I see one like this, I think, it's like that extra bit of setup and this and mm-hmm. that just doesn't seem worth it. But with this, it does. And almost for me, if you didn't use if you weren't using the full size of the bed, then you can have it open, I would assume. And it would be a lot more like free flowing if you got a dog that's, you know, maybe not super stoked about being in a different area as you, or like maybe even your toddler or something wants to sleep in the lower part of it. Like, it might be nice to have that separation, but still have
the pass through. With the bed being that big, you can take part of the pass through out and leave it out and still have a pretty good sized bed.
Yeah.
Depending on, what shape and size the pass through pieces are. So, yeah, you could still keep the pass through open all the time. Run your heater down there and still have a two-person bed in the tent space.
And also, the way that they build that top, it's like it's just like their their rooftop tents as well. It's got a little bit of a dome to it, so mm-hmm. you can put all the bedding in there. I was just looking at one of their, like, their SolidWorks pictures, and it shows, like, all the bedding and, like, everything up there, even with the thing that folds into it. It
right.
still has enough
still room. Has enough room for the bedding, yeah. which is a, awesome. A big problem with that type tent that has the hard floor that folds into the side yeah. into the hard shell.
Yeah, you don't get a ton of room because there just isn't any expansion up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's super cool. I was also wrong. They do make one that is 4 or 5.5 foot bed, it looks like.
Oh, cool. Does it say what the bed sizes are on that? That would be, because that would be another interesting.
Well, they've got a picture of it on a short range, or on a, yeah, on a Ranger.
Okay.
Kind of looks goofy on the Ranger, to be really honest. But, and it looks like it's the same bed size.
Hmm.
Yeah, they show the pictures for both.
So, it, no just, so it probably just has more overhang than like the longer beds would.
It's no overhang. Oh, more overhang on the truck.
On the truck.
Yep. Yeah. More overhang on the truck. That's yeah. what it is. That makes sense.
Okay. Yeah.
That
yeah.
might be why it looked goofy too.
The one thing I will gripe on when it comes to their toppers, because it seems like they do this a lot, is the typically it's a you remove your tailgate and it's got a full enclosed back door.
Yeah.
Rather than like your typical canopy style opening where you would open the tailgate, open the rear hatch.
Yeah.
I'm sure that that makes it more sealed for dust and water and things like that, but it does make the whole getting into it, out of it, maybe less convenient because there's not a porch.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
to stand on and things like that.
But I like that it's got a bigger door in that case. I mean, it's narrower, right, but it's usually tall. So, like, you know how a four-wheel camper, when it's on any bed, it's mm-hmm. awkward. It's like you feel like a hobbit trying to get in it because yeah. it's like a short little door. This is a taller door, which is nice, and then it opens out. Whereas the GFC thing, it kind of feels like you're just getting in the bed of a pickup, like, which is what you're doing. So yeah. it's not terrible. But and then I think, as dorky as it is, like overland-wise, one of the things I like about this style of camper, and even the ones that are, I guess the alu cabs that are a little longer too, mm-hmm. is that there's room for your crap on the back without having a swing out bumper carrier, including a spare tire.
That's true. The door kind of doubles as that, rather than having the hatch that can't really hold anything on it because it's just gas struts that
yeah,
hold it
so up. You got so. A propane tank. You might have a water thing. Mm-hmm, you got mm-hmm. a spare, like stuff that is heavy and I hate carrying around, but if you're doing a longer trip and that's kind of your thing, that's great. Also, if you're the kind of person that takes something like this off, then you just toss your tailgate back on. You got a regular old truck and you don't have to worry about it. Or you don't.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember now. There was the Mythbusters episode where they did gas mileage with or fuel mm-hmm. mileage with pickups. I think it was bed closed was the best.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they busted the myth.
Busted the myth.
As they say.
Yeah, because they were trying the bed net thing, mm-hmm. which I think doesn't even exist anymore. Maybe Mythbusters single-handedly killed bed nets.
I don't know. I think they are still there.
I mean, I'm sure they exist, but I haven't seen one for years.
I haven't seen one physically on a truck in a long time, yes.
Not a lot of new F-150s rolling around with cargo nets.
Yeah, I think everyone, oh yeah, they're still alive and strong. You can still get them.
Dang.
I think everybody transitioned to the
tonneau cover.
No, the tailgate blanket.
Oh yeah, for their mountain
for
bikes.
Their bikes to
even when they're
hang
not on
off
there.
The back. Yeah, even when there's no bikes in it, they like to do that. Yeah, Gladiator tailgate net, $110. That's it. Hmm. Still there.
I wonder if
you that's... You can use it with the tailgate still on too.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. Got pictures of it with the tailgate on. So I'm not sure.
I'm Googling this. I got to see this. Oh, that's the one, the Covercraft Pro. That's the one that I recognize. Mm-hmm. It says ProNet right in the middle. And it's, I'm pretty sure the photo is on like a 80s. Must be a Ranger.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what it should be on.
That's exactly what it should be on. Oh, yeah, and this with the Gladiator tailgate net, you can use... It's like if you want to open your tailgate and let some air through, but not lose your stuff. I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't know the double... I don't know what the reasoning would necessarily be for the double usage there, but... Yeah.
Well, you know, people do stuff. They're sometimes wrong. What do you want to complain about?
What, now that I had nice things to say about the Alucab?
Mm-hmm. I didn't know you were a closet Alucab guy.
I don't know that I'm an Alucab guy, or even a closeted one at that. I just saw it and thought it was a neat little twist on that, because what I am is a mid-sized truck topper guy.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Soft, hard,
someday
all kinds.
I would like to have a topper of that style, where it's all one piece rather than me having a topper and a tent with the topper.
Yeah.
I would eventually like to get to that full topper.
Well, I think this is the best option so far.
If I want that much sleeping space, I'm not in the position that I need that much sleeping space as much anymore.
Just that way you can spread out.
True. I can go diagonal in there.
On the trips where it's just you and the dog.
Mm-hmm. Man.
You guys don't even have to know each other or even in there.
Problem with that is then it's so much more space to heat up if it's a cold night.
That's true. Well, it's got a built-in heater because
it's an Alucab.
Yeah. I understand why the wood stove portion of that exists, mm-hmm. and I know people love them. I'd have a hard time with that, I think.
For me, so, and I think that we've done this before. We're of a little bit different ilk than what their target market is. Their target market is the people that are like strictly overland types. So some of their stuff, it gets a little overbuilt for you or I, for our brain. Because it's like, well, A, do I need that? B, look at all this extra shit that's now hanging off the side that is potential for a snag. Something's going to grab it and pull it off.
Yep.
Because we tend to actually go wheel trucks and camp.
Yeah.
Not just, this is my camping vehicle for forest roads. Like, which, not to say that these can't get down, you know, say the Rubicon or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
It's just, that's one more thing you get to worry about if you've got your stovepipe sticking out the side of it or whatever else, because its footprint is larger, things like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's the stovepipe always gets me. One of my neighbor's friends has one on a Gladiator, mm-hmm. and every time I see it, I go, man, I would rip that thing off so quick. It wouldn't even dawn on me that I couldn't ram it through, mm-hmm. you know, trees that are
so
that my windshield height.
In that same concept, the guys that have shit strapped to this, like the side, their side windows and things like that.
Like my heater.
Like you did with your heater, but
it worked out.
All we did was do the overlanding thing.
Yeah.
Now, imagine you're on the Rubicon, which you've done the Rubicon now, and you had the heater on the side of it. What do you suppose the condition of the heater would be, considering you hit that particular corner on a rock up by your window?
Yeah, that would have been bad. I probably would have, it would have been in my vehicle.
Yeah, if it had made it to that obstacle in the first place, you absolutely would have smashed the shit out of it on that rock.
Yeah.
So
I think that was the only place, though. Everywhere else was not that tight up high.
That you know of, because you weren't watching for
good
it.
Good point. I also, so not being secured on the bottom meant if I was on like a pretty steep incline, I could watch it just on our overlanding trip start to kind of, you know, pop out a little bit. So wouldn't have been ideal. But it works great for driving down a gravel road not having diesel in your car.
Well, and that's all you needed it to do in that sense. So that was fine.
I can't wait to break that thing out for a second use in a 4-6 months.
Oh, we're not going to use it before. Did you already take your tent off?
Not
did you
yet.
Already do the errand?
Working on it. No, there's one thing that I'm trying to figure out, and then I will take it off probably. I'd like to have it off for 80s on Edison. Just be nice.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like, it's not that much weight. It's maybe 150 pounds, but I can feel it for sure. And with these springs, I feel like it would be nice to try it without the tent.
Okay.
So, we'll see. Yeah. I'd like to take, my dream is to take my, like, rear build out in the winter too, but I just can't pull that off. Like, the space to put it somewhere is just such a pain in the ass, so.
Yeah, and then what's the difficulty level of, like, just getting it out?
I don't know.
Like, unattaching it from things and whatnot.
It's 4 bolts.
Okay.
Assuming they're still there.
Uh-huh.
I think they are.
Are they easily reachable?
Yeah. I mean, they're under the rig, but they're not, like, horrendous to get to. They're actually pretty simple. What I'm worried about, though, is it's been in there for 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm concerned that if I take those bolts out and try to get it out, one, it'll never go back in, and it'll fall apart once I get it out. And I don't,
you don't trust your craftsmanship?
I mean...
Or is it craftsmanship?
It's been pretty good. I did break it on the Rubicon. I broke one of the latches, but that was just because we were on this like crazy incline, and I opened my tailgate, and I went to like open the drawer, and when I did, it like, I don't know what happened, but it popped the latch out. Or maybe Morgan did it.
Mm, I don't know. There you go. Blame it on Morgan.
One of us
broke it. Damn it, Morgan. It's your fault.
So now it doesn't latch anymore. But I can fix it. I just haven't gotten to it. But I'd love to take it out of there because it'd just be nice. I'd rather not have any camp gear in when I'm not camping. But, you know, such is life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what my concept was with the truck as well, was trying to keep it as simple as possible so that when I'm not camping, I can just have
don't carry stuff.
A truck bed. Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm probably going to have the tent on it no matter what, just because, like you were saying, space.
Yeah.
Having somewhere to put it.
Yep.
And then just the hassle of like taking it on and off is
a real pain in the ass.
Yeah. It's like, meh. Is it really hurting that much being on there?
Yeah.
For me? Probably not.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, I'm sure it's like 1 mile to the gallon on fuel or whatever.
That which is exactly what my difference was, was one.
That's fine. Yeah.
It also gives me a place to mount things on top of the truck too, like say Christmas tree.
Oh.
Things like that.
I can just... Maybe you have a truck bed. Do you throw them in there?
Yeah, but then I got to clean all the pine needles out at some point.
Good point.
You know. Best way, I just stick it on the roof, and then they all blow out.
Can I put my Christmas tree up there, too? I hate to.
I if you're coming to Redmond to pick it up and then drive it back to your house.
Maybe. I didn't get a Christmas tree last year. Remember that? I went Christmas tree snowwheeling with everybody and didn't get a tree, which was nice.
In the not snow.
Yeah, it kind of sucked.
Didn't really snowwheel.
That kind of sucked. We did a different snowwheeling last year, too, didn't we, though?
We took a couple
around
runs.
Around that time, I thought we... Maybe I'm putting 2 years together.
We did one run that still didn't have much snow to Three Creeks.
Mm-hmm.
Because we got all the way through.
Yeah, that means it's not great.
Yeah, means there wasn't much snow. And I think that was the last time we really did much snow wheeling.
I was just thinking that direction. Because we did that other time when you had the Rover in the...
Oh.
But it must have been the year before.
That would have been the year before. Yeah,
it was the year before. So, never mind. I'd like to try to go out there a couple times this year as opposed to just our normal area.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see, you know, check out that. Is it the Round Lake? Is that the one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to try that. See what it's like.
I would like to do that loop in snow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would assume after I went to the Black Sand thing a few weeks ago. That seems like it would be fun if there was like a foot of snow on the ground, too.
Possible.
That road I couldn't find before. I'd like tried in the past and just never spotted the road, I think.
Yeah.
And I've driven that, I mean, I've driven that highway 1,000 times. And so when I finally like got on Onyx and figured it out, thanks to you, I was like, oh, that's the road. That's the road I couldn't find before. That's the one that doesn't exist. So I went up there and I was like, well, I know how to backtrack and get to where I would have come in otherwise. Mm-hmm. But I just went in. I went up a little further, found the actual road, went in and did a loop. It was nice. It was a cool area. And I thought to myself, this would be fun with a little bit of snow because it's got a, it's like all tight, kind of some hills. Like, I don't even think I put it in low range other than trying to screw around in the sand.
Yeah.
And I didn't, I don't even know if I had to then. I just did. But it would be kind of cool, I think.
Yeah. I think I'm going to say the classic thing here, and say, oh yeah, we should get out and do more.
Oh, of course,
snow yeah. wheeling this year than we have in the past, and then it just won't happen again, just like just like every other year.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Luke's not here to stop us.
That's right.
So because we know Luke's not coming.
No, I bet he has great snow wheeling that he will never go. Yeah, to.
He wouldn't know.
We should go there one time in the winter and try to drag him out.
He wouldn't. There's no way.
Could you imagine? I mean, we travel
all that way to go snow wheeling, and he'd be like, "No, I'm not coming.
You guys like have it.
fun." I 100% could see that.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I gotta go into work.
Emergency. I am needed. Yeah, I would like to do a little more of it. Who knows? The thing that we always run into is the times that we can get people together for like a quick after work or something do work out well. They're few and far between.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it because sometimes it's a pain in the ass. Like, especially right now, let's like pretend we add that into our podcast schedule and then you got kids and you got work and you have a spouse that you want to hang out with, obviously, too, and all these things. And right, it makes sense. But if we could figure out, I think the problem becomes like nobody can be spontaneous about it because the second somebody says, hey, we should do this tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh man,
should have told me a week ago. I might have had the time.
I'm traveling for work. I got this recital. I've got my dog sick. My mm-hmm. mom is sick. Whatever. Like there's always a thing. And even with 12 people or whatever, it's just like, 10 of them have something. It turns into
two people real quick.
And then the spontaneous fun snow wheeling trip becomes, well, we can't really go too far. Yeah.
Don't want to push it too hard because if you get stuck, I'm the only choice to get you out.
Yeah, I mean, Mike and I got both him and I stuck pretty good one time last year towards the end of the year. We just went the two of us and it was like, it was fine. We ended up, it wasn't really that big of a deal. But when I got stuck, I went like it went down hard and I was like, oh, this is a weird spot. I was kind of like off the trail a little bit and it wasn't good, but we got out. It was fine. I thought for sure, though, like that was the moment that we were going to like break a winch line and then,
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the one time Jesse broke a winch line was in the snow by himself trying to get. Well, I mean, he wasn't technically by himself.
Hmm.
He was with the group, but he had gone further than the group to try and find a spot to turn around. Got himself stuck trying to get turned around and broke his winch line.
Jesse and I have similar things sometimes because I would do that. I got stuck last year one time by doing the similar thing and I had to dig myself out with a plate.
Yeah.
That was the year before. That was the year prior.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I got out. So.
Yeah. Good thing you had your camp built out in the backstory.
Exactly.
So there's a point against taking the camp set up out of the back.
That's true. And sometimes it's nice to have a fridge, even when it's cold out.
Yeah. I mean, you could put the fridge in there without the camp thing, right?
I always take the fridge out anyways if I can because it's so heavy.
It is heavy.
And awkward. And there is also something that like kills the practicality of my vehicle to me that I have a 3-seat giant SUV that I can't put anything in.
Mm-hmm.
Like bringing this mini fridge to the shop was intense. Yeah. I tried to put it in the side where the platform is. It won't fit through the door. And then I just kind of went, there's no way it's going to fit in the back. And it just squeaked in, laying flat on the top of my platform thing in the back, or my drawers, all the way to the like the back of the seat. And if it was a stock Land Cruiser, I could have just walked in and
just put it in
straight, closed it, moved on.
Yeah, takes up a lot of space having the cabinets in there.
Yeah, it's great. I have a bunch of stuff stored in there. That is fantastic when I'm using it, but when I'm not,
Yep, I'm with you. I am with you.
Yeah, well,
it's kind of why I don't want to put drawers in the back of my truck. It's just because the space loss, and then it's the hassle of getting it in and out if I want to take it in and out.
Yep.
So, yeah, just cross that bridge when I decide what I actually want to do in the back of there.
Yeah, well, all right. Did you? Oh, you decided to pass on the would you pay money for this, right?
Yeah, it just doesn't, I just don't think that, you know, it has the vibes that we need it to if it's just the two of you us. And I. Because like you said, you feed off of my hatred for things.
I do.
When it's just you and I. And so I think that I don't think I'll get your true answer.
Yeah, what if I hate it? And I wouldn't have if you weren't here.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, if you were here and somebody else was here.
Yeah. Yeah, we need need the extra.
Oh, I have something to complain about.
Okay.
Well, remember when I said...
More complaints.
Remember when I said there was a YouTube thing I wanted to bring up? There is. And I cannot remember this. Just every time this comes up, anything like this, all I can think of is the guy that said, you shouldn't do this. In my head, I just have this, like, nobody likes it when you're doing this, but I like it, so it's fine. I watched this YouTube video, and I won't name it because I can't remember it.
Oh, good.
And I've run across this guy before. He actually has pretty good content that I've seen. His videos are long, so I don't watch them all that often, but they're all right. He does a lot of overland camping. He's from Idaho, I think. He's got a 392 Wrangler. Pretty cool. You know who it is?
I don't know the name of the channel. Catching on
it just gets
to
like
already.
It gets like recommended to me, and he seems like you know, like the we talked about the we did Vanilla Recon, which I think is what pissed that guy off. By the way, I'm pretty sure
that was well before.
Okay, yeah. It seemed like it was around the right time. Anyways, Vanilla Recon and this guy kind of remind me of each other. He's very vanilla, and he seems fine. It's not like I have a personal vendetta against him. I just feel like if I'm watching someone on YouTube, like I kind of want, I don't know, something, a little grit or a little bit of like wacky personality or something. I don't really know. Anyways, they do the Rubicon, him and his buddies. And actually, overall, great video. It's really in depth and they like show all the obstacles they do. They take a guy from Metal Cloak and like, honestly, I don't know, 8.5 out of 10, I'd give the video. It's pretty good. There's some vanilla stuff because the guy is who he is, but they run the trail. They do a good job, whatever. Here's my gripe. They bring a Bronco Raptor with them, and he calls it a B-Raptor the whole time. And I've never heard that.
Nope. It's a Braptor.
And I hate it. Braptor? Yes. Bronco Raptor? Yes. B-Raptor?
That doesn't make any sense.
And all I was just like, are you? Oh, it's funny. He said it once, and I was kind of like, what is it? Oh, okay, that's clever.
Is he making a joke?
And then after like the third time, I was like, that's just what he calls it. He calls it a B-Raptor. And it ground on me hard enough that I had to stop the video like 3/4 of the way through. And I was like, they were at, you know, I don't remember what the obstacle they were at. But I was like, man, this, I kind of like this video and I cannot watch it anymore. I think if I was in a scenario where I could have listened to music and watched it on mute, I might have watched it. But I was like, I don't know, you know, it was like, in the middle of something, and I was like, I gotta watch this or not. So, nope, not watching it.
Okay, well, maybe I'll watch it now because I know exactly who you're talking about. I put it in the chat. And I have seen the thumbnail for that, and I also have seen bits of a video prior to that of them, that same group of three guys, trying to prepare themselves for doing the Rubicon, and it was pretty funny watching how green they were and how much they thought was crazy on this trail that they were doing as their test.
Yeah.
You know, that I was like,
I think,
well, you guys are in store for something.
I think actually, ironically, you bring that up. I think that actually might have been the thing that I liked about the video is that they're very green.
Mm-hmm.
And they admit it. Like, that was the other cool part, right? Like, I love it when somebody's like... Yeah, on the front end,
they said they were super inexperienced.
I love it when someone says, hey, I'm going to try this thing. I don't know if I'm going to be good at it.
Yep.
Yep. And obviously, you're using a perfect vehicle, all of you, for the thing, and that's good. But it's not a beer app. That's, I don't know, it's such a stupid gripe, but it really got me. And some of their other videos are a little more like just Overland specific, and they're fine.
Yeah.
Whatever. But this was shot well. Oh, that's what I was going to say. They were taking different lines on a couple of things that just like, I went, whoa, I didn't think that was an option. And as I looked at it, I went, sure was. Didn't have to go the way we went. You know, not anything like crazy, but like when they're on the in the granite bowl, when they come out of it, they come out around the trees to the left instead of going straight to the like the right of the tree. And I looked at that and I went, is that easier?
A couple of people in our group did that. I'm pretty sure Tyson and potentially Steve did that. You and I did the really steep.
Yeah, which was a sleeper obstacle. I didn't think anything was going to happen. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, I'm going to roll. I got really close to the tree.
Yeah, that's how wheel spin gets you even closer to the tree.
Yeah, well, that's what happened. I just, I started to, it like lost it, and I got into the throttle a tiny bit, and I just walked over like 3 feet. And I forget who was spotting me, but there lies just, it was Luke, I think. He was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay, try that again. All right, I got it. It was fine.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure a couple of, I think Dave might have done that too, gone to the left of that tree.
You know what? I think I vaguely remember that now because I was watching at the top and I remember him taking a different line, I think, or somebody did. I remember watching him.
Lynn would have been watching it from behind.
Was I behind it?
You and I were like the two last that went up.
Maybe
that.
That's it. Maybe we were watching him go up.
Yeah, it was. You could see them all go up there.
Yeah.
And then Colin hurt himself.
Yeah. There was a time on the this video they were talking about. They'd been on the trail for 4 hours or whatever it was. And where they were. And I was like, they're not that much further ahead than where we were. And we had staples.
And a huge group.
And a huge group. Whew. And a heck of a time at the gatekeeper. It really took a while to get through that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with that many vehicles,
yeah.
and then we had to try and get everybody out of the way to let that guy by that was going out there to save somebody's rig. I can't remember which one it
that
was.
That one with that blown up drive shaft that was stuck off to the side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was an eventful gatekeeper
for
us. Absolutely. And then, you know, and we also didn't really have a time agenda, so which is the best way to do it.
Yeah, it was good.
So,
okay, well. That's all I got.
Okay. Yeah. 58 minutes.
Oh, do we need to go further?
No.
We can go further.
There's no reason.
What about like a 3 minutes of silence? Just for...
just put it on the end. I can do that without us sitting here for it, actually.
Oh, okay, cool.
I like just that. Have that.